So today is very auspicious day of Amavasya. By the arrangement of Providence, it is also Sombar, so it is Somavati Amavasya. And on this particular Amavasya day, which is also the disappearance day of Srila Gadadhar, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also left this world. So we're gathered here today to glorify this great Acharya in our line. As I mentioned, we're only sitting here because of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gaudiya Vaishnavam was in a very poor condition. After Mahaprabhu's disappearance, many people had warped the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so many speculations appeared. So that the intellectual class of people considered that Gaudiya Vaishnavam was just an excuse to beg at the expense of society. Or it was just a strange sex cult. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur had very little consideration in his youth for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Just to give you an idea of the degraded condition of the time, when Bhaktivinoda finally became interested to understand the true teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu, it took him 8 years in Calcutta to find out a copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu's teachings were practically lost. If Bhaktivinoda Thakur had not revived those teachings, we would not be sitting here in the holy land of Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gaurinitaya Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyam Sundar. The real message of Sriman Mahaprabhu was practically lost. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his youth, he had been born into very opulent circumstances. His father had, and all of his extended family had great wealth. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions later, that I have a village called Choti Mangalpur under my possession. He had a whole village. That's just one place he mentions. And we know Choti Mangalpur is where the original deities of Radha Madhava, we were chanting this beautiful song, they were found there in Choti Mangalpur. And we're very fortunate. Now they're under the care of His Grace Fakir Mohan. So he brings them every Kartik to sit at the lotus feet of Radha Shyam Sundar. We get to see those original deities of Radha Madhava, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They go all the way back. It's said that even Nityananda Prabhu also took darshan of these deities. They go that far back. So he spent his youth in quite carefree environment. He was born in a place in district of Birnagar called Ulagram, very tiny village. He got his elementary schooling there. Srila Bhaktivinoda, it's interesting, he describes the teacher was the none other than Yamaraj. And all the older students were the Yamadutas. We were terrorized by this, our teacher. Such that he said, my younger brother, Kaliya Prasanna, something like that, he finally took a machete and went to attack the headmaster of the school. But luckily Bhaktivinoda was there and grabbed the machete from his hand, and the headmaster fled. He was never seen again. Later he went to Krishnanagar to complete his schooling. It's interesting, that time it said they would be carried by palanquin on the weekends. They stayed in Krishnanagar, and on weekends by palanquin they would reach to his house in Ulla. He had a his grandfather was named Raja Ballabha Datta, who was quite a famous fellow and very wealthy fellow. It was said that he was able to commune with supernatural beings, and he even knew the time of his death. At the time of his death, he called for Bhaktivinoda to come and received many instructions from him, and also told him to visit all of the holy places in the state of Orissa, where he had established temples and mutts. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was present when his grandfather Raja Ballabha Datta left this world. And he traveled around and visited the various places that his grandfather had told him. And there in Choti Mangalpur, he found there was one institution that his grandfather established that pilgrims could stay rent-free for the night. But the manager had completely given up that policy. And Bhaktivinoda reprimanded him in such a way that if he ever got a complaint again that anybody was refused to stay in the Dharmshala there, that he would cruelly resume those lands. After that, there was no complaint. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after completing his education, he entered into the education. He became a school teacher. And he was the first in the state of Orissa to establish English education. And at that time, he wrote a book about all the ashrams that he had visited on the order of his great-grandfather. Shortly after that, also another famous incident when he was in the teaching. He was posted at a school in a place called Champaran. And there was a banyan tree that was inhabited by a ghost. And many uneducated people were worshipping that ghost. So one very learned fellow came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for begging alms. So Bhaktivinoda told him, "I will give you alms, but you sit underneath that tree and read Srimad Bhagavatam." And he maintained him every day with alms, and that fellow sat under the banyan tree reading Srimad Bhagavatam. At the end of 30 days, when he completed the Bhagavatam, the tree inexplicably crashed to the ground, and that ghost was never heard of again. And all the people of the surrounding villages were very happy, except for those few dishonest people who were worshipping the ghost. I forgot to mention, at age of 14, he lost his father. And then they met with very troublesome times at that time. And although he's born in opulent circumstances, age of 14, he lost his father, and they fell in very hard times. Finally, he left the teaching and he got a job in the government service. And the government was very pleased with him because he was very intelligent, very good manager. Jai Sri Sri Nitai Gaur Sundar, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radhashyam Sundar Ki Jai. And after successfully managing several postings by the British government, seeing his great abilities, they posted him as a deputy magistrate of Puri. Now this was, deputy magistrate was a very high post in the British times, like that. Magistrate and deputy magistrate generally were held by some Englishmen. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very efficient, so they posted him in Puri. And in Puri, he took the opportunity to regularize all the offerings. There was many, the rituals and everything in Jagannath temple had become a little loose. He regularized all the rituals and put everything in complete order. Which only Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have done. An Englishman could never have done such a thing. At that time, near Puri, one so-called incarnation of God named Bisikisena made his appearance. And he was preaching to the people that he was the incarnation of God for this age of Kali, that he was going to drive the Britishers out of India. And he, so many nasty practices, also claiming that he was Bhagwan. He would also perform Ras Lila with the wives of his followers. So many crazy things were going on. This is a degraded condition of things at that time. So because he was preaching against the English government, the British wanted Bhaktivinoda to quell him down. But Bhaktivinoda's real motive for investigation was that no one should claim to be the Supreme Personality of God. Ordinary living in India, he had become convinced of Vaishnava philosophy. So this person was misleading the people to think that an ordinary living being can become Bhagwan. And this fellow had some mystic powers also. So Bhaktivinoda, taking some police in disguise, he approached his gathering. But even though the police were in disguise and Bhaktivinoda was not dressed as a magistrate, didn't appear as a magistrate, that Bisikisena said, Bhaktivinoda, or I guess at the time he was known as Kedarnath. I know why you have come. You should immediately return. Without having any introduction, he immediately knew his name was Kedarnath Dutt, and he recognized that he'd come with the police. And Bhaktivinoda challenged him in so many ways, and then he asked the police to arrest him, and then he made sparks fly from his hair. And the police were afraid, so Bhaktivinoda himself grabbed the fellow and chained him up, and they brought him to jail. And then he told, Kedarnath, you better let me go. You will see my power. So while he was waiting in jail for the trial, suddenly very inauspicious things happened in Bhaktivinoda's house. His daughter became sick with a very high fever. Everyone thought she was going to leave her body. So many inauspicious. Even the Thakur himself was attacked by a raging fever. Even his own wife told him, "You please set this fellow free, otherwise we'll all be destroyed." But Bhaktivinoda was firm in his determination that no one can usurp the position of God. So though he was completely racked with a fever, he was lying on his back, could hardly move. The day of the trial came. Everybody was sitting in the court. This Bisikisena was there. Everyone was waiting. Everyone knew Bhaktivinoda was lying on his back, could hardly move. Suddenly, the doors of the court flung open, and a robust, if you've seen the pictures, Bhaktivinoda, he was quite handsome and quite robust personality. He strode into the courtroom, and gave his decision that this fellow was guilty as charged. Again, he tried to perform his mystic powers with sparks coming from his hair, this and that. But there was one English fellow who had heard that yogis keep their power in their hair, so he came from behind with some scissors and cut off his jata. And immediately the yogi fell down completely powerless. So much so he lost so much power that later he died within the jail. Such was the power of Bhaktivinoda. You see, you've probably seen those beautiful pictures. I don't know if they're here. It's not time to look. Very robust, wearing his beautiful hat, you know, very nice jacket. In this way, some other fellow popped up who claimed to be the incarnation of Balaram. All these fellows, Bhaktivinoda, curbed down. And his house was right on the grand road in Puri, where the Rath Yatra goes, which is coming up in 2 days. There's a huge, wide road called the Grand Road. This is where Lord Jagannath travels on his Rath along with Balaram and Subhadra. So just a little ways down from the Singhadwara gate is the house where the district magistrate used to stay. So Bhaktivinoda was staying in that house. And seeing the degraded condition of Vaishnavism at that time, he was praying for Raya Vishnu. And his wife gave birth to a young child. They named him Bimala Prasad. Bimala Devi is one deity within the Jagannath temple. Actually, the Lord Jagannath's bhog, after it's offered to the deities, then the Mahaprasad has to first be offered to Bimala Devi. Until it's offered to Bimala, it doesn't really become Jagannath Maha. So he was called Bimala Prasad. So somehow, mysteriously, the rest stopped in front of Bhaktivinoda's house. His wife took the child, ran out to the cart, because she was the wife of the district magistrate. Nobody stopped her from climbing on the cart, and she put that child at the lotus feet of Jagannath, and Jagannath's garland immediately fell on him. Everyone was amazed, and Bhaktivinoda could understand this was the person that he was praying for, who became later the spiritual master of our divine spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he was posted in many other places. And one time he took vacation from his post and he came to visit Vrindavan. At that time in Vrindavan there was a band of dacoits called the Kanjaras, who were spread out among the roads to all the holy places, terrorizing and robbing the innocent pilgrims who came to visit Brajabhumi. So he made sure that he extirpated all of these dacoits from this land. Of course, now so many have returned, but anyway. And Bhaktivinoda, later he was posted at Barasat, which is not far from, in fact, that's the first village. After you leave Calcutta Airport to go to Mayapur, the first village you come to is Barasat. And there he met many intellectual people of the time, Bankim Chandra, Ishwar Chandra Sagar, so many intellectuals of the time. And he began to try to impress upon, because the intellectual people had a very low opinion of Vaishnava philosophy. So he tried to impress upon them the real teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the real deep philosophy and very intricate, elaborate philosophy of Sriman Mahaprabhu. In fact, Bankim Chandra had so much faith in the Thakur, he wrote a book about Krishna, but it was filled with so many westernized ideas and speculations. And he sat, he showed it, knowing that Bhaktivinoda was very expert in Krishna consciousness. He showed him the book, and Bhaktivinoda sat with him for 4 days straight and completely revised the book, and then he published it. So though he posted in many different places, Bhaktivinoda was always anxious to go to Mayapur, district of Nadia, and do more research, especially to find the actual birthplace. So he applied many times to the government, but everybody was very, because he was so efficient, they didn't want to leave him. So finally he turned in his resignation, which was refused. But then somehow or other he is posted at Krishna Nagar, which he knows very close to our Mayapur. And there, whatever time he had free, he would immediately go to Mayapur, go to Navadvip. That time nobody knew where Mayapur was. And try to do more research every free moment. In fact, it was said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so efficient, he would finish off all of the cases, whatever case was brought before him. By midday, he had finished all, everybody else would take all day, and still not finish, but he had finished everything off by 12 or 1 o'clock, and then the rest of the day was free. He was very intelligent. Immediately on hearing the arguments, both the lawyers, then he can immediately give the verdict. And he would finish everything by noontime, and then the rest of his time was free. And he wandered throughout the land of Navadvip. But he understood, after some investigation, that the town of Navadvip was only 100 years old. At that time, it was about 400 years from the appearance of disappearance, both of Sriman Mahaprabhu, with the land of Mayapur, the actual birthplace of Mahaprabhu was unknown. Some unscrupulous people tried to convince him that there in Navadvip was the place, but he understood this is only 100 years old town, and besides, it said it was on the eastern bank, and Navadvip is on the western bank. All the scriptures describe. So then he found many, many old maps. And by this time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although originally he was initiated by one Bipin Bihari Goswami, coming in the line of Ma Janava. Later he took shelter and spiritual guidance from Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So by studying the old maps, because everyone told him that anyway you'll never find it, was lost under the shifting current of the Ganga. Because we know rivers, sometimes they change their courses this way, that way. It's like I personally watched how Jamuna has gone. Before she was flowing much closer to Vrindavan, now she's gone far away. Of course, we're dumping all of our nasty water on her, so naturally she'll go away. So they told him it was lost under the shifting course of the Ganga. We see every year, especially in Mayapur, this big flood comes. So sometimes after flood, the river will take a different course. But he began studying all the old, whatever old ancient map he could find, and he could understand it was on the eastern side. And where the actual birthplace is situated, you'll see behind there's a big, huge lake. That is called Balal Digi. At that time, the king was Balal Sen. So obviously, his kingdom was on that side of the river, on the correct side of the river. So it's natural that Mahaprabhu's birthplace should be on that side. So gradually he found some self-realized sadhus who were worshipping one plot of land as the actual birthplace of Sriman Mahaprabhu. But that land was in the hands of the Mohammedans. And even they were disgusted with this place because nothing grew there except Tulsi. No matter what they planted, only Tulsi grew in that place. So even they were disgusted with this place. It was no good for growing rice or anything, banana trees, anything. Only Tulsi grew there. So then he brought his spiritual guide, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, to that place. That time, Jagannath Das Babaji was over 100 years old. He was so weak, he couldn't walk. And he had his servant. What was his name?
Biharila.
Huh? Biharila. Bihari Das, I think. Bihari Lal's over here. This is Bihari Das. So, who carried him in that basket. So Bhaktivinoda brought him to that plot of land, and as soon as they set the basket down, and Jagannath Das opened his eyes, because he's so old, his eyelids wouldn't remain. As soon as he saw the plot, although he was unable to walk, he leaped in the sky. Harivo! Jai Sachinandana! Jai Sachinandana! Jai Sachinandana! Confirming that this was the actual spot. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, somehow he managed to purchase that plot of land. And then he began to try to beg the people of Calcutta. So this was in 1894, the turn of the century. In the Amritaka Bazar Patrika newspaper, on December 6th, the following article appeared. Babu Kedarnath Datta, the distinguished deputy magistrate, who has just retired from the service, is one of the most active members. Indeed, Babu Kedarnath Datta has been deputed by his committee to raise subscriptions in Calcutta and elsewhere, and is determined to go from house to house, if necessary, and beg a rupee. That time rupee was a lot of money. Beg a rupee from each Hindu gentleman for the noble purpose. If Babu Kedarnath Datta sticks to his resolution of going around with a bag in hand, we hope that no Hindu gentleman whose house may be honored by the presence of such a devout bhakta as Babu Kedarnath Das will send him away without contributing his mite, however humble it may be, to the Gaur Vishnupriya Temple Fund. In this way, he managed to collect enough to build a suitable temple, a small temple. Later, Bhaktisiddhanta made a nice temple there. And he established Gaur Vishnupriya. And he had so much evidence, just if you've ever been to Mayapur, then just near the Yogapit, you'll see there's a little post office. And so what's so significant about post office? Post office is everywhere. But you'll see that post office has the name Sri Mayapur Post Office. They had enough evidence that Bhaktivinoda was able to convince even the British that this was the actual Mayapur. So just across the street, a little ways down the road, you'll see Sri Mayapur Post Office. So this is very significant. He had enough evidence to prove that this was the actual place. Another interesting thing that Bhaktivinoda, when he established his temple in Gaur Vishnupriya, although very often we very enthusiastic to preach about how being Brahmin by birth is not the qualification, Bhaktivinoda made the rule, because it's still not to be discounted. Bhaktivinoda made the rule that only those who were born in Brahmin families can do the worship there. Of course, they also have to be initiated and Brahmin initiated in Gaudiya Math, but till this day that is followed, only those who have been born. So that's not the only qualification. It's still not to be discounted if somebody has taken his birth in a Brahmin family. So then, after retiring from the government service, he found this place, he managed to build some structure there, and then he began the preaching. He started a journal called Sri Sajjana Tosani, The Pleasure of the Vaishnavas. He began to write many books. In fact, he wrote one book, very interesting book, called Sri Krishna Samhita. Because Bhaktivinoda, in his youth, he had studied all the different Western and Indian philosophies, different religions, Christian religion, this religion, so many things, trying to understand what was the truth. So when he was finally convinced of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he could understand all the different other philosophies and their points of view. So Sri Krishna Samhita, he, in a very interesting way, almost Western type of style, he establishes, using Vedic evidences, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he wanted that the Western people understand perfectly who is Krishna. Because at that time, especially under British rule, they were criticizing and denigrating any type of Vedic religion. There was one fellow named Macaulay, and he specifically established English education, and he said all of our literature put together, he said all of the Vedic literature put together cannot even be compared to a tiny portion of our British literature. He was such a fellow. And unfortunately, the younger generation, they took up these ideas of the British, that our Vedic religion is, you know, this is for heathens and pagans, idol worshippers. So Vedic religion had very low opinion amongst the... Of course, the villagers were still pure, but the intelligentsia and young people were taking up Western ideas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in very, very erudite language, he establishes the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Especially his books... Sri Krishna Samhita. In his desire to spread the glories of Mahaprabhu to the West, he wrote one book, Gauranga Smarana Mangala Stotra, which is also known as the Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he sent this book to many Western universities. Specifically, he wrote that book and sent it to Western universities in the year of 1896. So we all know the significance of 1896. This was the day that, and the year that our divine spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, appeared in this world. Even he sent one copy of his book to Ralph Waldo Emerson. Those people also were influenced. As we know, Emerson has written something about that, glorifying Bhagavad Gita, that all our, he's the opposite of Macaulay. He said all our literature is puny in comparison to the vast wisdom that is contained within Bhagavad Gita. So Bhaktivinoda was preaching at such a time when people were losing interest in Indian religion and philosophy. And his pen never tired. He wrote so many, over 100 books he wrote in his lifetime. In fact, some places I've seen his schedule, practically he would just sleep for 4 hours. The rest of the time was spent in writing. 8 hours was spent in writing, a couple hours in studying, a couple hours in taking rest and prasadam. His pen, he had a mighty pen that never tired. He wrote so many wonderful books. One special book is there, Srimad Bhagavat Tarka Marichi Mala, which contains all the most prominent slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam pertaining to the Vaishnava philosophy. And he produced many of the Goswami's books. Practically, Mahaprabhu's mission was lost. He brought out into the public eye the great literature written by the Goswamis. And he began having Namahata, spreading the holy name. The more the holy name spread, the merrier our Bhaktivinoda Thakur became. And then finally, he got a property on the opposite side of the Jalangi in Godhrumdweep, which is non-different from Nandagram in Braj. And there he built a very beautiful house called Swananda Sukhada Kunj. Also here in Radhakun, he purchased one house, built one house. That is known as Brajaswananda Sukhada Kunj. And Srila Prabhupada, there's one charcoal drawing in the Bhagavad Gita room there, Prabhupada's house, where you'll see Prabhupada is sitting, Srila Bhakti Saraswati is sitting on a rope bed, and Prabhupada is there with his son, meeting him. So Prabhupada met in that. Bhakti Siddhanta used to stay there sometimes. This very special place. So there he established this Namahata. He, throughout the villages of Bengal, he started this chanting of the holy names. The more the name spread, the merrier Bhaktivinod became. Then finally at the beginning of the 20th century, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur moved to Puri and established his Bhakti Kutir, just a kitty corner from Srila Haridas Thakur Samadhi. In fact, one of the wonderful books that Bhaktivinoda wrote was his Harinam Chintamani. And Bhaktivinoda, staying right across from Srila Haridas Thakur Samadhi, he wrote one very wonderful verse that all the devotees know. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still in sound, the Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. And Bhaktivinoda predicted, actually made three predictions, that very soon the holy name will go throughout the world. He said, someone will come and spread that holy name throughout the world. Great personality will appear to do that. And then he predicted that in all lands, England, Germany, Russia, America, Japan, people of those countries will join together with Kartals and Mrdanga and chant the Maha Mantra. And third prediction he made was, all of those people from those different lands, from America, Germany, Russia, England, Japan, they will all come to Mayapur. And along with their Bengali brothers, they will join together and sing, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. So we all understand, everyone in the world understands, it was actually our Divine Spiritual Master A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada who fulfilled those three predictions. He went throughout the world and spread the holy name such that in all of the countries of the world, Harinam Sankirtan is going on. Prabhupada established a center in Mayapur, and he brought devotees from all over the world. In fact, we see every year it keeps increasing. I don't know, last year, how many? 7,000-8,000 people came, all chanting with their Bengali brothers together, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desires were fulfilled. So eventually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was staying there in Puri, in Bhakti Kutir. Now, ISKCON has acquired that property and built a little, very nice temple there. So eventually he took Babaji from initiation from Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And finally, the last few years of his life, in 1910, he shut himself up and simply absorbed himself in meditating on the leelas. And before, he was always meeting people. Many people came, got his blessings, got instruction from him. But that time he shut himself up in complete samadhi. And finally, on this particular Amavasya, which is the same day as the disappearance of Srila Gadadhar, it's interesting, we know in Swananda Sukada Kunja, deities are Gaur Gadadhar, deities of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So on this holy day, while he was shut up, he left this world. That was on that particular English day, it was June 23rd, 1914. So we know that somewhere around 20th, 21st, the sun reaches its northernmost journey, so it turns around. So it's already started its southern course. So they took they put Bhaktivinoda's ashes in a silver urn, and when the sun again started in its northern course, they established his samadhi at Swananda Sukada Kunj and Sri Godrumvi. So this is just a slight glimpse into the great glory. We cannot fully understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur only because he desired that Mahaprabhu's philosophy and religion should be understood by the English-speaking people. We're sitting here today. It is by his mercy. He inspired his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took up the mission of his father, who inspired Srila Prabhupada, who fulfilled Bhaktivinoda's prediction, and Mahaprabhu had made his own prediction. The Prithiviti Yato de Nagaradi Gram Sarvata Prachoi Huibe Marana. 500 years before Mahaprabhu made this prediction, and 100 years before Srila Bhaktivinoda made this prediction, and Srila Prabhupada fulfilled this prediction. So this is a very, very auspicious day for all of the devotees. And we're here to honor Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and fall in the dust of his lotus feet and beg for his mercy that we can continue pushing on the pure teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu throughout the world. Hare Krishna. So any questions? Or anybody else has some other anecdotes about the life of Bhaktivinoda they'd like to share with us? Yes. Bhaktivinoda? Yes. I don't know that much.
I'm just saying that he went through the cases really quickly. I'm just saying that it's interesting that not one of the cases was overturned.
Oh, you know, all right, you're telling, all right. He was saying that although Bhaktivinoda went through all of these cases very quickly, none of the cases were ever appealed. You can imagine that generally if somebody goes through something quickly, then there's always some mistake or something, and on the basis of that mistake, they appeal the case. So just to give an idea of the intellect of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Swananda Sukada Kunja in Godrumdweep. The name of his house is Swananda Sukada Kunja. His samadhi is right in front of the house. And Bhajan Kutir, who's Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, is also there. Though he was totally illiterate, we can just imagine, Bhaktivinoda was very literate, such that he was respected. Even I saw, there's even information on Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Wikipedia. But they also mentioned he was one of the, in the turn of the century, he was one of the great intellectuals who reformed and great reformers of the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even they mentioned in Wikipedia. He was known throughout all the intelligentsia of the time of Bengal. He's a great scholar, and this we know Gorkhasura Das Babaji couldn't even write his own name. But he very much appreciated Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, though Gorkhasura was completely renounced, and Bhaktivinoda was living in a big house. You see the beautiful dress always, you see the picture of Bhaktivinoda. Gorkhasura used to stay there, underneath a boat. It was an old boat that wasn't used because it was holy, so Gorkhasura would live under that boat and stay there to hear the lectures of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur were seen, and as he demonstrated himself in the later portion of his life, intense practice of bhajan, one's personal worship. I'm just wanting to ask you how the world of preaching and bhajan work together in our spiritual life. And some people, you know, we have a tendency, we might go on one end and go on the other, but there's both.
Everything in spiritual life depends on balance. Everything in this world. So we have to, as Prabhupada always encourage us to spread the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can't go either way. We have to take both the things. Just like one time they asked, one time Prabhupada said, that I'm writing all of these books for you. Are you studying them? You're selling the books? If somebody asks, oh, I don't know, I only sell. I don't know what's inside. So we have to balance. We have to study and go into our own bhajan. At the same time, we have to push on Prabhupada's mission to bring as many people to Krishna consciousness. And in fact, by doing our own bhajan, we become more encouraged, we become enlivened, and we're experiencing such happiness in Krishna consciousness. We want to share it. Although there were some few rare souls, it's like it said, there were some self-realized souls who were worshipping the place. They were not spreading the mission, so it was being lost. It was by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's efforts that Gaudiya Vaishnava regained his glorious position. Okay. So there's no more questions, and we can all fall down to the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and beg for Him His mercy that we can continue pushing the movement that Srila Prabhupada established to fulfill His desire. We can continue pushing it on. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Go Premanande.